If you have your Bibles with you, why do I say if? You should. You are in your house. Get your Bibles open to Numbers chapter 15. Now, we're going to read a story in just a moment, but yesterday was Saturday. I don't know when you're watching this, but it was the Sabbath that usually, typically, me and my family have. And on this Saturday, though, because Andrew and Melissa were in the hospital and they're having baby Oakley, that we took their three children. We have a photo here today for you of their three children and my four children. So that's seven kids in the house, plus my wife. I want you to know that underneath my wife's clothes is the superwoman costume, because she's an amazing woman. She's not only taking care of all these kids and holding Enoch and making food and doing the dishes, and I don't even know what we do as the boys over here, but we try and chip in when we can. But wow, thank you so much. It was a real treat to have all of those kids together on our Sabbath. So typically on a Sabbath, a Saturday that we take as a family, usually Friday night, I say to my kids, because my wife is making this wonderful pizza, homemade pizza, we're picking a movie, I say, kids, we got to clean this house up. Because Friday night till Saturday night, we want to take those 24 hours and call it our Sabbath. And on Saturday morning, we wake up late, have pancakes, and eat tuna fish for lunch. We're all relaxed and just kind of don't do much around the house. But this Saturday was a little bit different because we had three other kids in the house. So cleaning up and those kind of, just whatever. As long as the house isn't on fire, we were doing well. But on top of that, my children also had some opportunities. My son, Emmanuel, who's here with us this morning, he had some Skittles in his mouth, and somehow the Skittle knocked out one of his teeth. So he was like all of a sudden not enjoying his Skittles because it was, you know, a bloody mess in his mouth. And my son, Moses, had been up the ski hill the other day, and, you know, his neck was a bit sore. So seven kids and all these complications. So I don't know how restful it was, but there was our Sabbath, not really a typical one. But watch what God says about the Sabbath. I think it's just very eye-opening when we look in the Old Testament what God has to say about the Sabbath rest and how seriously he takes it. So Numbers chapter 15, again, we're going to jump into verse 32. It says, while the Israelites were in the desert, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly, and they kept him in custody. I just love that. He kept him in custody because he was gathering wood. He was bad because it was not clear what they should do with him. The Lord said to Moses, the man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. So the assembly took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord commanded Moses. Wow, isn't that intense? We think about the Sabbath day and somebody was breaking the Sabbath day by doing work. And God said, you know what? We're going to have to take care of this individual. So when we hear that, we think, wow, why was God so uncompromising, in a sense, for this person? He was just gathering wood. Why is that so important? And then for those of us, and especially me back in the day, where I'd read that kind of a story as a non-believer and didn't know Christ, I would read that and go, how can I serve a God that's that harsh to people? And as we were to spend a bit more time on that story, we would realize that this person wasn't just gathering wood. He was actually going against everything God had commanded the people. He was saying, God, what are you going to do about it? Hey, I'm going to do whatever I want, and what are you going to do about it? I'm not going to follow the Sabbath day. So we understand the context of that. But I want to look at three things today with you. We think about the Sabbath. God also talks about letting the land have a Sabbath. And we also see that in the Ten Commandments, where did it originate from? Where did this Sabbath thing kind of begin and start? I want to look at that secondly. And then we're going to look into the New Testament. Jesus shows up on the scene. What did Jesus have to say about the Sabbath? So let's look at the first thing again, allowing the land to have a Sabbath rest. So we're going to jump into Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 2. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather your crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Don't sow your fields or prune your vineyards. See, at this point, the Israelites hadn't obeyed the command to let the land rest for hundreds of years. From captivity, they were in slavery in Egypt. I think maybe they had forgotten. You know, their landowners and their masters were just driving them in slavery. I wonder if they forgot about the Sabbath. I wonder if they didn't have time to take the Sabbath rest. And then we see God deliver them out of bondage and slavery into the promised land. And God gives them this land, and he says, let the land rest. I want to remind you to let not only yourself take the Sabbath, but also let the land have a Sabbath. And they just didn't observe it. They just, what? We're in the promised land. We don't need to let this land rest. It's beautiful. Milk and honey. Don't worry about it. So this is what happened. And we're going to see now, then God moves them out of the promised land and moves them into exile into Babylon. And this is where we're going to pick up the second story here in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. We'll see Daniel shows up on the scene and the people are in exile and Daniel's saying, God, what's going on here? Let's go back to the promised land. Let's go back there. And God begins to speak to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. Jumping down to verse 24, 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holy, or to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, no one understand this. From the issuing of the decree and to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. And now you start. Mathematically, I'm thinking, I don't know if I went to school for all this. But here we go. We can see again. We'll make it clear that the Israelites were in bondage and slavery, and God brought them into the promised land. I know there's a process in there. We won't spend a lot of time on that. They were in the promised land 490 years. And they did not observe the Sabbath. They did not let the land rest 1 year. They just worked the land. So in a sense, they did not let the land rest for the 70 years that it was supposed to. Every seven, they're supposed to let it rest. Every seven, rest. So God was, you know, in a sense, keeping mathematical, you know, he was reminding them, you know, I'm going to take you out of the promised land because you're not observing my commands. You're just doing whatever you want. So he exiles them into Babylon for 70 years so the land could have its rest. It could have its Sabbath rest. Isn't that just interesting that God is very particular? He's very interested in even letting the land rest. This is the commandment. Think about for 490 years. Like 15 to 20 generations of people. So, you know, you think about my great-great-grandfather and me. We all lived in this land, and we never observed the Sabbath rest. And we're thinking, oh, I guess God doesn't care about it. After 490 years, after generation, we forgot about letting the land rest. And then God says, it's very important. It even reminds Daniel, you can't go back to the promised land yet until the 70 years I want to let the land rest. Wow, isn't that just a fascinating thought? Let's look back at the Ten Commandments. So we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 20 when we see the Lord give the Ten Commandments to Moses. And let's just kind of, we're going to pick it apart almost verse by verse here. But it's just very unique. So chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 8 to 11, it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant or your manservant, nor your animals or alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that was in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I like the thought that God made it so clear. He spent a lot of time explaining that not only just you, like you don't just kind of put your feet up like, hey guys, sorry, I got to take the Sabbath over here. You know, okay, my kids and my maidservants and all my slaves, you guys can keep working. All my animals, yeah, keep working the field over there. But I'm taking the day off. God is like, no. Everybody is taking the day off. It doesn't matter even if, like, you know, some neighbor of yours, everybody should be taking the day off. The, you know, every individual, even your animal, should be taking the day off. Let's expand on that just a little bit more. Verse 9, we just want to look at this. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. On the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. I think so often we try so hard to work to get ahead by kind of just adding that seventh day. Like, oh, we got 7 days in the week. Why don't we just work another day? And the Lord is saying that you're not going to get ahead in life. You're not going to find provisions in life. If you just work, 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 you're not going to get that much further ahead if you were to just actually work only 6 days. Watch what it says here. This is going to be a lot of fun. So in Exodus 16, we're just going to jump back a couple chapters here. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it till morning. Keep it for the next day, the seventh day, the Sabbath. On the sixth day, produce enough so you'll have enough for the seventh day as well. So we are to observe that. We are to follow that. Don't try and hold on to yesterday. Or try and work, like, think, I just got to work every day to get ahead, in a sense. Because God is taking care of us, even on the Sabbath. He's provided enough for us, even on the Sabbath. He wants to give us a day of rest. Isn't that just great news? God is like just saying, just take a day off. And you're thinking, I've got work to do. I've got things to take care of. And God's like, I have it all under control. You're going to be fine. You just trust me. Take the Sabbath. Continuing on in that story in verse 24 of Exodus 16. So they saved it till morning, as Moses commanded. And it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath, there will not be any. So he was providing for them every day. They would go out and collect. They would work. They would labor. And then on the seventh day, so you're going to go out. You're going to work in vain. You're not going to produce anything. You're not going to get ahead if you kind of try and add that extra day in there. I like the idea when I study for exams or when I go to school, I take correspondence studies, and I'm always cramming, you know, taking all my notes and just, you know, all this information. But at some point, honestly, we need to stop. We need to just allow our mind to just kind of rest. We need to allow all that information to kind of just settle in our minds. So we got to give our brain time to process everything that we've learned. We take that time to just let it rest. And it's the same with God here. He's saying, let it rest. Don't work yourself into the grave, in a sense. Let's chew apart the next part of the commandments here in verse 10. On it you shall not do any work, neither you or your son or your daughter. I want to just fast forward to Joshua to expand on that story, that thought. That it's not even no one, again, not your wife or the husband or your children should be working on that day. So Joshua chapter 24 will expand a little bit of that for us. So Joshua chapter 24, jumping in verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will observe and follow his commandments, all of them. We will take that day off. See, at some point we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to follow that commandment or not. Are we going to say, I like all the commandments, and I'm not sure about that one right now. And God is making it very, very clear. We have to make a decision on that on behalf of not only ourselves, but on behalf of our whole household. Are we going to follow that? Let's break it down a little bit further in verse 10, continuing. Nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals or any alien within your gates or any foreigner within your gates. And I'm just having fun with scripture because there is just so much in here about it. So Isaiah chapter 56. So I want to expand again on that thought about, you know, your animals or your the foreigners or the aliens that are living with you. Watch what Isaiah says here. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountains and give them joy in the house of my joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So it doesn't matter where you came from, your background, whether you grew up Christian or your parents were, or you know how you got saved. Everyone that comes to the house of God gives their lives over to God. Watch what God is saying. Like, not that there are requirements. Like, if you do A, B, C, you can be saved. But God is serious. He's saying, like, if you're going to follow me, there's some things you should do. You to love the Lord, it says. It says to worship him and to keep my Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? He just added that there. It was just like, you know, you should just love God, read his Bible, and pray. And keep my Sabbath. Out of all the commandments, God is reminding him to keep my Sabbath and keep it holy. Isn't that great news? And remind him, serve me, follow me, and take a day of rest. Don't forget to do that. That's just wonderful. So let's look at the Sabbath commandment for people in the Ten Commandments. Again, where did that kind of originate? So we pick that up in Exodus. We think, that's a great commandment. You know, we should follow that. Watch where it originates. Let's just go to the very, like, almost first pages of your Bible. We're in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, jumping in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because it on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now again, when I wasn't saved, this just didn't make sense to me. I thought, God, the creator, like, of everything, took a day off and rested? Like, was he tired? Like, what happened to God there? And as we begin to kind of break it down, understand the original context and root word that is being used here, he wasn't tired. He was taking the day off. He was saying that this day is holy. It is a Sabbath day, and I'm going to take the day off. Not because I'm exhausted, because it's just the right thing to do. The original word here mean, again, is like to take part in the Sabbath rest. It's not about rest, like sleepy rest. It's about resting in the presence of God. Just looking back and like looking at creation. As God looks at creation, everything he spoke into existence, wow, isn't that majestic? And then so for us, it's the same thing. If we kind of take that rest, we're thinking, I can trust God that he will take care of me. I don't need to work today. God's got my back. He's got everything that I need. So let me show you three other verses that use the same root word for rest. Because we could find in the Bible other times when it was serious rest. Like the people were tired, they took a rest, they took a break. But it's not that context. It's not that word here. So let me show you again three other verses that speak to this kind of Sabbath rest, that we would rest in God. So 2 Chronicles chapter 36, jumping in verse 20. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation, it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken to Jeremiah. If you remember when I told you the Israelites were in the promised land 490 years, they were exiled into Babylon for 70 years so that the land that they were in, the promised land, could rest. It could have its Sabbath rest. We see that so clearly here. Again, not that the land was tired. That's why I love this piece of scripture. You think about it. Oh, the land got tired. Like, the land doesn't get tired. God is saying that it's important to let the land rest. Again, not because it's tired. It's because I want it that way. This is the biblical principle of Sabbath, that it was honestly, if we think about it, when was it originated? When was it made? Oh, Genesis. Oh, chapter 2. Before, like, everything else, before you and I were even around, God said, I'm going to create the Sabbath. I'm going to create rest for it's just going to be a principle. And again, God didn't create man later on and go, oh my gosh, these guys are tired. We should give them some break. We should give them a Sabbath rest. God created the Sabbath first, then he created man to observe the Sabbath, not the other way around. It's got to be so clear to us. We've got to understand that. That's the order that it was made in. Let's jump back to Exodus again. Exodus chapter 34. And in Exodus chapter 34, we're going to read verse 21. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. Again, not take a nap. You're not tired, but God is saying, take a Sabbath rest. Even during the plowing and harvest season, so even when it's busy. Now, I think back to my life in growing up in Prince Rupert. I'm very thankful as a teenager I had the opportunity, if you remember, back in the day when the mills were booming around here in Terrace, well, the fish was booming in Prince Rupert, and I worked at BC Packers. And I would work, man, oh, they would slave drive you, right? You know, 12, 14-hour days. But seriously, the boats would come in during the harvest season or the salmon season, the salmon run. Like 1 million pounds of fish would come in the back door one day. It would get cleaned up and the fins cut off and all that kind of stuff, head off. It would come through another kind of process. It would get put in cans. Then it would get cooked, even labeled. 1 million pounds of fish a day would get processed. And God is saying, even at that time, even though it's the salmon run time for us, he's saying, don't forget to take my Sabbath. And I don't think they observed the Sabbath. I don't know if that company understood the Sabbath rest, because we would just work day after day after day. There was fish, we were working. Honestly, I kind of figured out how to sleep standing up sometimes. I felt like it was just, you were just working so hard. And here's a third piece of scripture that talks about this. So again, let's jump into Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 26, jumping in verse 33. I will scatter you among the nations, and I will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste, and your cities will lie in ruins. When the land will enjoy its Sabbath years, all the day that it lies desolate, and you are in the country of your enemies, then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbath. The land doesn't take a nap and go to sleep, but it enjoys its Sabbath. All the time that it's desolate, the land will have the rest it did not have during the Sabbath you lived in it. Continuing, jumping down to verse 43, for the land will be deserted by them and will enjoy its Sabbath while it lies desolate. Without them, they will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them. Even though the people hadn't followed the Sabbath, even though they had turned their backs from God, even though for 490 years they said, what are these rules? We're not going to follow this stuff. God says, I will not reject them. Isn't that just wonderful news? Or abhor them, or so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God. I will not reject them. Even though if we have not followed the Sabbath, even if we miss the Sabbath, God is not going to reject us. He loves us. He wants to see us enjoy the Sabbath rest. It's designed for us. So why did the Israelite kings refuse to obey the law or obey the Sabbath during those 490 years? Why wouldn't they just say, you know what, God, you brought us out of slavery into the promised land. We're going to take that time. We're going to take that day off. We're going to let the land rest because we trust you. It boiled down to really financially. It boiled down to materialism. It boiled down to the fact that we're in the promised land. Look at all this milk and honey. Let's just pillage it. Let's just take as much as we can. Remember, we were in slavery. We barely had a nickel. And now we've got all this. Let's take advantage of it. And they put their eyes on things. They put their eyes on what they could accomplish. And they thought, if we don't do this, we won't survive financially. If we don't do this, we won't be able to afford the things that we want to afford. And God is saying that is the complete wrong thinking. We got to slow down. You've got to rest. You got to put your eyes on me and trust me. Because it's foolish to think that I can just work and get ahead every day of my life and that's going to produce anything. The fact is that you let the ground rest is actually, it will produce more. This is a serious fact. If you let the land rest every seventh year, your crops will produce more if you worked it every year. That's just a fact. And so for you and I, it's the same thing. If we just work every day of our lives thinking we're going to get ahead, we'd actually be further ahead if we were to take the day off and only work six and take a day off, six and take a day off. Isn't that an interesting thought? But I hope you don't come to the gospel and come to think about taking Sabbath for that reason. Well, if I take the Sabbath, I'll be way further ahead. Like, if I do this, I'm going to get something else out of it. I hope you do it because you love God. I hope you do it because God is asking you to do something. I hope you do it because you want to honor God. You want to follow God. You want to serve God and all of his commandments and all of his ways. And then lastly, when we jump into the New Testament, we see Jesus show up on the scene. Oh, so good. Such a fresh reminder. How should we really live it? So we've got some Old Testament commandments. We've seen some clear stories in there. And then Jesus is going to come and show us and pave the way for us. So if we think about the Israelites in the Old Testament, they just didn't take it seriously, right? They didn't take the Sabbath seriously. Like, well, maybe that was good for before, but not anymore. And then we come to the New Testament. We see the religious leaders of the day. They are so, like, black and white with it. Like, you shouldn't even, like, basically get out of bed. You shouldn't do anything that might cause you to do any kind of work because that would be, you know, not good. So it's legalistic. So you should, you know, disobey it and not even think about it, but you shouldn't blow it out of proportion and think, I better not do anything because I don't want to offend God. And Jesus comes right in the middle of that. Isn't that just wonderful? You know, don't ignore it. Don't blow it out of proportion. Follow it like Jesus follows it. We see here so clearly. Jesus and his disciples are walking one day, walking through a field. They feel like having a little snack. They pick some grain, you know, eat it up, eat some grain or some wheat. And the religious leaders are like, you can't do that. You can't, like, you know, work to get some food. That's wrong. So are we to, like, just like, oh, I can't eat all day. It's just, I can't, you know, that would cause work or have to do some dishes that day. Again, don't blow it out of proportion. Jesus is saying, that's too legalistic. You still have to live. You still have to breathe air. You can't just completely take the day off. And then we would see later on Jesus, you know, on another Sabbath day, he heals somebody. And the religious leaders, again, are appalled. They're like, what are you doing? You can't do that stuff. Oh, I know. Let's not help people. Let's not allow God to heal people on the Sabbath because it's so legalistic again. And Jesus comes right in the middle and goes, man, you can heal people. You can pray for people. Good things could still happen that day. You could still operate and live your life honoring God. Don't take it too far and put it out of balance, but take it seriously. Take the Sabbath seriously. My prayer for you today is that if you do Sabbath every week, I hope these scriptures were an encouragement and a reminder of why you do it. For some of us, and this was for me many years ago, maybe you've forgotten about it, like the Israelites. You know, God had said, take the Sabbath, and they, you know, they were slaves, and they were in the promise. I just completely had forgotten about the Sabbath. I pray this is a reminder to you, and you're going to start the Sabbath again. You're going to take it seriously again. And for some of us, this might be brand new information. You're thinking, like, that's a heavy thought. You know, I've never really scheduled my life around taking the Sabbath. And I pray for you that you would dig deeper. Because honestly, it was very challenging to put together a 30-minute message only about Sabbath. I have pages and pages of research I have to cut out because we only have 30 minutes together. So I just pray that you would dig a little deeper. Because if you go looking for the Sabbath and what God has to say about rest, it is all throughout the Bible. You're going to find lots of it. So my challenge for you is to go find it. Get filled up with the Word of God and what it has to say about the Sabbath rest. In conclusion, I just want to pray for you. I just want us to be able to find that rest. I know Pastor Andrew a few weeks ago spoke about a spiritual rest. We're finding the Sabbath rest and how holy it is to God. So let's just close our eyes again. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the message that's so clear to us in your Word about the Sabbath rest. Lord, I pray that we would find rest even today as we gathered, as we heard your Word, as you spoke to us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to us. Oh God, I pray that we would honor you with all of our being, with all of our life, and we would follow your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen.